Tonight we are going to continue with our service, and this section of it we're going to look on God's word. The two verses of scripture that was read to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, primarily. We'll be looking at other scriptures, but these are the two verses that we'd like to pay some attention to during this service. And you are here for the first time, and you're here and you're sharing your phone with somebody, the Lord bless you. And we trust that and hope that the Lord will deposit a word from what is going to be said here in your spirit, so that you will feel the presence of the Lord and give him glory and say thanks to him for what he has done. Praise him. Bless the Lord. I read those two verses again. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That is the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight, as was read earlier on by Sister Bernice. Topic we'd like to concentrate on tonight is, there's a secret recording on your life. There's a secret recording on your life. It is also on mine. There's a secret recording on all of us' life. From the day we were born until now, God has established a camera on every single one of us to record our movements, to record our action, and to record every word that we speak. There is a recording. There is a recording on every single one of us' life here tonight. And it is interesting that Solomon is the one who bring this out in such a forcible way to us tonight. And the two verses that we read are very, very challenging and very, very dynamic as far as our relationship is with God and us as individual in the world. And this does not necessarily go for Christians. This word is for just about every man. As Solomon recorded here, it is for every man what he is saying here in these two verses of scripture. So we ask ourselves the question, what gives Solomon the authority, and what gives Solomon the conviction to utter statements like these? Because these are powerful statements in the presence of the Lord. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What matter? What conclusion is he talking about? What is it that he is speaking to the wider world on? Why he made this statement? Let us hear the final summary. This is what he's saying. The final summary of the matter. And he laid out before us tonight. And what is that final summary? The final summary is fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. What an outstanding statement that he made. You know, we oftentimes heard people talk and said, he has lived a full life. She has lived a full life. Mainly, statements like that is made at funerals and so forth. But they cannot be, based on what Solomon is saying here, they cannot be what is considered a full life for any individual unless that life involves the fear of God. Outside of that, the life is wanting. Outside of that, the life is not complete. For someone to have a full life, it is not just living to see 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100. That is not the definition of a full life. A full life must involve the Lord, the reverence for the Lord. A full life must involve the fear of the Lord. And Solomon is telling us this important message tonight. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There is a camera that is going. There is a camera that is running from you were born, from I was born until now. It is recording our entire life. And so, as we continue to look on these two verses, we would like to see where is it that Solomon is coming from. What gives him the authority? What gives him the drive? What gives him the consciousness that he would put these words here for us to read tonight? Let's see if he's qualified to speak to this end. One of the thought that comes to mind here is that you can recall that the Bible teaches us that Solomon was the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus to walk this earth. Solomon, not one of the, but indeed the wisest man to walk this earth outside of the Lord Jesus. Not only that he was wise, but he was among the richest men that has walked this earth. Not only that he was rich, but he was among the most prosperous men that has ever walked the face of this earth. So with all those three areas, he can give us a full understanding that in Solomon, he has accomplished the feat of what every man inspired for in his life. In fact, when you read something that he said here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, I have seen all the work, all the works that are done under the sun, and all are vanity and vexation of spirit, he declares. So, we ask ourselves the question, how was he able to put these two verses together? He is able to put them together because he has seen everything that needs to be seen from a human standpoint. And he realized that there is something greater than this. Hallelujah. The fear of God is greater than everything that he has seen or accomplished. Listen to, and in your spare time, I would encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 10. And you will see the extent to which God has blessed this man and caused him to be in the position that he had, so that he is able to make these statements that we are reading tonight. One of the things that he also said, listen to what Solomon says here in chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10. Whatsoever my eyes desire, I keep not from them. I withhold not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoices in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Solomon was saying, look, everything that my eyes desire, I was able to accomplish it. I was able to receive it. Whatever my heart desire, I was able to achieve it. So when he give us a summary here, this summary is saying, I have been there. I have seen it all. And now I am telling you that based on world accomplishment, I have found that there is nothing stabilizing in there. In fact, he uses the word vanity. The word vanity, he uses 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. 38 times Solomon used the word vanity to describe his accomplishment and to measure it against the fear of God. He discovered that everything that he has achieved is considered vanity. And what is the definition of vanity? Worthlessness, futile, emptiness, no true real value. That is what Solomon concluded. That all the things that are out there, and we realize from the scripture now that he has achieved so much. He described the whole thing as vanity. In fact, he started up the book of Ecclesiastes by telling us that. Listen to what the first two lines said. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I might read 3-2. The words of the preacher, he described himself as the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's what he started out the book of Ecclesiastes saying. What profit a man of all his labor which he had taken under the sun? He considered the old thing vanity. My Lord. So we ask ourselves the question here. What authority does he have to come to this conclusion? When he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter is as he viewed his life, as he viewed his accomplishment, as he viewed his relationship, not only with his fellow men, but with his God. He summed it all up and discover that, look, when you weigh all of those things against the fear and relationship with God, everything else fades into nothingness. The word tells us that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. We just learned that Solomon was the wisest man, and he was among the richest men, and he was among the most prosperous set of people on the face of the earth. And he came here tonight, and he's saying to all of us, the conclusion of the whole matter is vanity. Fearing God and keep his commandment is the way to go. And there's something rather interesting that he said about himself here. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, what he says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eye. But know thou that for all of these things God will bring thee into judgment. He discovered that for himself, that he realized that despite his achievement, despite the fact that he followed the dictate of his eyes, he followed the dictate of his heart. Whatever his heart desires, he feeds himself with it. Whatever his eyes saw, he gave himself that to satisfy him. And if you read chapter 2, you're going to discover the amount of things that he satisfies himself with. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Then it will tell you the wide range of things that Solomon satisfied himself with. And yet still, at the end of the day, he discovered that it all was nothing else but vanity. I would love more people to read Ecclesiastes, because in reading Ecclesiastes, we are going to discover that some of the things that men are gravitating for, ultimately, they are going to become worthless if they missed out in pursuing Christ. What shall it profit a man Jesus said, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a question tonight. You might be here and you might be wondering, I have not prioritized my life in the way in which I should. I have not given the Lord the first place in my life. From I was a youth until now. And for that, I have found wanting. I want to tell you, if you are here and you're thinking that way, tonight is a night when you can make it right before the Lord. The Lord is still here with our outstretched arms ready to receive you. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. What is your purpose here? What is your purpose? You are here on planet Earth. God has blessed you to be alive until this minute. What is your purpose? What is our purpose? Solomon was in the place of authority based on his own experience to define the purpose for which we are here. And the purpose for which we are here is to fear God and keep his commandment, because he said that is the whole duty of man. You know, I went to Miami from Delray Beach today. And while I was going down there, I was thinking that I passed through so many intersections. And when one might think that that is no big thing, it's really a big thing. Because if I did violate the law of the road by, say, breaking one of those stoplights, chances are by next week I would get a letter from the authority that I should pay a fine because I violate the law by breaking a stoplight. And they would send me a picture of the vehicle, and they will send me also the license plate. I cannot deny that it was my vehicle. So what I'm saying here, from here all the way to Miami, the government is watching me. The government is watching me to see if I'm going to break any one of their laws by traveling along the road. Anyway, there are cameras everywhere. God has established a camera over every single one of us. And God is not going to judge the apostolic church in America as a body. God is going to judge us as individuals, though we are members of the apostolic church. Each and every single one of us will have to appear before the Lord. It's not the church label that is going to save us now, but it is the fact that we have the right to go before God and explain to the Lord what is happening based on the fact that he has established a camera on us. And we have to give an account, hallelujah, for the things that we have done. Listen to how 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 puts it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. We all will have to appear before the judgment seat, and it is going to be done individually, not the apostolic church in America, but we as individuals, not the Pentecost church, not the Baptist church, but the individual members of those churches must appear before the throne of God. As Solomon said in this verse 14 here, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He said that long before the Apostle Paul said it in 2 Corinthians. God is going to bring every secret thing into judgment. We are talking about a man who has explored the entire world. He has seen it all. He has done things that I believe is only between him and God. And he concluded that all of those things are vanities. Only thing that matters is a relationship with Almighty God. And what did he say here again in 14, verse 14? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. The psalmist said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret means it is confined primarily to you alone. Secret means it is confined primarily to me alone. But because God has a camera running on us, it is no more a secret that is confined only to me, but it is exposed to God. Whatever it is that we may have done in secret, that camera that God has on us is going to bring it out to light. Solomon made the conclusion here after he had gone through the entire experience of life. God is good. God shall bring every work. I'm sure that you and I don't mind God bringing our good works into judgment. We'd love to see it. We'd love to see it again. We'd love to experience. There's some things that you and I do that benefits others. And for the most part, we forget it. We don't remember. But God does. And when we see it, we are going to be proud that we actually did that. But there are things that we did that we wish we didn't do. The word is saying to us tonight that God is going to bring it out into judgment because it is on the tape. It is on the tape. And when we think that it is what Solomon is saying here is for one set of people, but no, the word tells us also in Ecclesiastes that judgment is for the righteous and for the unrighteous. Solomon made that clear to us. So I am saying to the church tonight, and I am saying to those of you who might be here and have not made a decision, you are not in the clear. There's a camera on you. When you go into your bed, there's this camera rolling. When you're at work, this camera is rolling. When you're walking down the road, this camera is rolling. Recently, there was some shooting in New York. And how we get to know the individual is because cameras were all around. And one of those cameras, the face of the individual or the picture of the individual was seen. And there are many more cameras that capture the experience of yesterday evening. Camera! It does not sleep. It does not blink its eye. It captures the last detail of the experience. And God has one of that on you. And God has one of that on me. Solomon realized that he was under camera. He was working under surveillance. And he discovered that the only thing that really matters is to serve God, keep his commandments, because that is the duty of man. And church, I am glad tonight, for when the apostle summed it all up in St. John, in 1 John, he discovered that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But there's a remedy. There's a remedy. The camera is not going to go dark, but we are going to be cleansed if we apply to the Lord to forgive us of all that is wrong on the tape. John tells us in 1 John that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all the evil things that is on the camera, so that we don't have to go into judgment with it. And not only our bad deeds that are on the camera, but also our words. The camera does a comprehensive work. Our words are on that camera too. Matthew, when we look at Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, what it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That is Matthew 12, 36 and 37. So when Solomon said every work, every secret thing is going to come into judgment, he is including our words as well. Matthew made that clear to us. And if you read Philippians chapter 3, I think verse 20, it tells you that our conversations are in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord Jesus. Our conversation, whatever it is that we discuss, Whatever it is that we say, whether it is good or whether it is bad, it has to pass through heaven first. Mm-hmm. Even before the next person heard.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go to the exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how when if I should call the person beside me at my hand stretch, the person has a telephone beside me. And if I should call that person, before it rings on that person's phone, wherever the exchange is that controls these two phones, it could be 20 miles away. Wherever that exchange is, that dial, that number, has to go there first before it reaches the person actually beside me. That is how fast this thing works. It has to first go to the exchange, and then it bounces back to the person beside me before the person beside me can hear a ring. And every word that I should utter on my phone to the person beside me has to first go to the exchange and record it there. That if something should happen and the law should require the telephone call that I made 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, the exchange can produce that call and hear word for word what I had said. This is the same thing. Our conversation, they are in heaven, and it has to go to heaven, the exchange first, before it come back to the person that you're talking to.
Huh?
So every idle word is going to go into judgment because of the surveillance camera that is placed upon us. I want to tell you, Solomon, as he exercised his wisdom and knowledge here, he discovered all these secret things, and he has placed them in writing for your benefit and for mine, that we will know how to walk before God, that we will know how to talk before God, that we will know how to behave ourselves in our community, in our homes, in our churches. Because Solomon had his own experience, and that he has gone through life, and he has summed up what he has been through. He came to this conclusion that we have before us in these two verses, and he's making it known to us. Now let me just read finally tonight one more scripture, and that is taken from Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15. Listen to what it says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the last verse, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen to that, saints. What Solomon was saying, there is a recording going on. There is a recording of your life, and there is a recording of my life. And right here, the revelation that John got in Revelation, in regards to the end time, as those who had already died came back to life, were judged out of those books. The recording on your life. It is not a judgment that judge a bunch of people, but it judge individual. The work that you did, the work that I did, the things that you say, the things that I said, were judged out of the books. Out of the books. Give an indication as to how many people are on the broad road to hell. Because it requires books to record their names. But there's another book that contains the names of the saints. The Bible calls it book, not books. Everything that you and I do is recorded. It's being recorded. And I trust that our name, because John said, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, is recorded in the book. So when I see the blood, I will pass all over you. What a day that will be. When the Lord said to Gabriel, run the tape on that brother. Run the tape on that sister. What a day that is going to be. You are under surveillance camera, my friend. You are under surveillance camera. And one day, that camera is going to be called upon to produce all the things that were done in your life and mine. Who are we going to have on our side? We, at that point, need to have Jesus on our side. Tonight can be the night when you put in your application that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and will cleanse me from our sins. That as much as the tape will show something ugly, we would have already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and our names would be in the book and not the books. There is a camera rolling right now. And I trust that we have become now aware that the Almighty God, the all-seeing eyes of God, is upon us. Solomon discovered that regardless of his achievement, which were so many, he was the wisest man. He was among the richest men. He was among the most prosperous men ever to walk the face of the earth. He was able to make the proper assessment that this is not what he was created to do. Let us hear the conclusion. The word conclusion is to fear God and keep his commandment. This is the old duty, he declared, of man. So when the apostolic church is having meeting like tonight and Sunday morning coming and other nights and other days, it is with the intention that those of us who are outside of the body of Christ will come into the kingdom of God. And as much as the tape, the surveillance tape, will still be running, it will carry good news on the day of judgment because we have made that decision. May the Lord bless you as you contemplate the fact that we are under surveillance and everything that we say and do are recorded. I work